story short.
He was spot on, dead on accurate. He couldn't have done a better job if he'd had a supercomputer that was calculating all the raw data and putting it, crunching the numbers and spitting out this information, making a grand prediction. He was spot on right, all because of grain consumption. Which I realize this may be the exact opposite of what, you know, we want to hear. But you know, sometimes you just have to evaluate what is the truth. I think in simplicity, grains, they are broken down into sugar. And sugar is the one substance that will cause a cancer to grow like a wildfire. And so to have a oncologist say that diet is of no consequence, that it makes no difference, I just beg and wonder, do we really know what we're doing? Is there a narrative here that doesn't? Anyway, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask a question or make a comment. I'm here and ready to go. But what I thought I would talk about, oh, we have a phone call. Imagine that. Hang on. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
Oh, doing pretty good. Let me ask you a question. You may have a good answer for me on this. About 2 weeks ago, I was handling something pretty heavy and pulled a muscle in my back, or hip, lower back, and I can't seem to get it to heal up. And, you know, I put the cream on there where you rub cream on to kill the pain and so on, and, taking, such things as ibuprofen and it's still in the morning when I sleep on a heating pad, and then in the morning I feel pretty good, but during the day it just comes on, and by evening, not doing much of anything, it gets hurting pretty badly.
So as the day goes on, it gets worse?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember hearing a pop or a tearing sound when this took place?
No, I don't remember hearing anything like that. I felt it pull when I did it. I knew that I'd done something I shouldn't have.
Well, do you feel like this is a muscular strain or an injury to the muscle, or do you think it's a joint issue?
I really think it's a muscle.
Okay. As a general rule, if you move the wrong way and it is a very sharp stabbing pain that makes you scream and cry out like, ah, that's usually a joint. But if it's just a very annoying dull ache that just grabs you and won't let go, that's a muscle.
When you just like I'm, you know, laying down in the bed and then I want to get up, and of course it's very painful.
Maybe it's a combination of all the above. Is the pain completely located or centered in the lower part of your back or over one of those sacroiliac joints in your hip?
It's over on sort of one side, mainly.
Does it favor the right or the left?
The right.
Does that mean you're left-handed?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, what were you doing at the time when this happened?
I was had a piece of three-quarter plywood, and I was, of course, that's pretty heavy.
Now, are you talking about 1 inch by 1 inch, or are you talking about 4 feet by 8 feet?
it was not completely 4 feet by 8 feet, but it was most of that.
But it's heavy, and it's awkward to hold, right?
Right, okay. Right.
Well, I can tell you just some basic, simple recommendations, and you tell me if they sound good to you, all right?
Oh, okay.
One thing that I would do if I was trying to resolve a painful injury is, number one, I would probably go to the store and I would purchase a tube of what's called Arnicare. And it could be Arnica Montana Gel. It's available almost anywhere you'd go. I even went to Family Dollar. This was years ago, and I saw, man, they had tubes for like $5.50. I thought that was a good deal. The same thing at Whole Foods might cost $12.99.
Right.
So the product is called Arnicare.
Arnic?
Yeah, it's spelled A-R-N-I, and then the word care, Arnicare.
Uh-huh.
It looks like a tube of toothpaste, and it comes out like a clear gel, and it's a little bit, you know, greasy for the first 30 seconds.
Right.
What I want you to do is just consider applying that to the area of severe pain.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it every 15 minutes if it were me.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably be thinking, you know what, I've got stuff I need to be doing, so the quicker this can heal and I can get over it, the better off I'm going to be.
Right, right.
And so, go ahead.
Is a muscle just take a long time to heal if you actually damage the muscle?
Well, obviously it depends on the severity. Mild injuries, I mean, they don't slow people down. Severe injuries, it may be more significant. And, of course, that's the disadvantage of a radio. I can't actually put my hands on it and determine why it is. But I'm just kind of rooting for you to kind of get well as quick as possible. So apply
sure.
the Arnicare very, very efficiently.
Right.
Do you have one of those flexible back braces you can put on?
I have a back brace I can put on.
Does that help a little bit if you do that?
I tried, in fact, I went and bought me a back brace, and seemed like at that time it didn't help a whole lot.
Okay. There is a book. I have loaned it to many of people, and they have not returned it, but the book is called Core Performance by Mark Verstegen. And I think I purchased two of his books used for like $1.17 this last week, and another one,
uh-huh.
I think I paid $2.48. They were used copies, and of course, when they tell you the condition of the book, they usually say it's in excellent condition, it's in mint condition, it's fair condition. I personally don't care if it says the book is in just horrible condition. I'm usually going to buy it if it's a bargain.
Right, right.
I always feel like that's what clear tape is for. If there's a tear in the page or somebody's hot, I don't worry about things. I'm more into the content and what we can extract from it.
Right.
But he has several simple exercises to help recondition a back that's been injured.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
you might just go online if you have access to a computer and
sure.
look up the mm-hmm. word core, the book Core Performance by Mark Verstegen. I have found that book so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And so another way of saying this is, I don't care if it's a widescreen TV or a piece of plywood that's 3/4 inch thick. It's still awkward and difficult, and it will completely uncover any weakness you have in your back, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
I mean, plywood is just, are you real tall?
Pardon me?
Are you very tall?
Yes. Yes.
That so you have like a long wingspan, so you can actually grip it and spread your arms apart pretty wide.
Right, right.
But it's still awkward to handle a piece of plywood like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that you might do is if you have access to a website or call YouTube, get on YouTube and say, what stretches and maneuvers do I do for severe lower back pain or muscle strains?
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
the key to all this is restoring function as quickly as possible.
Uh-huh.
And so there are specific stretches that you can do, and there's specific activities that will help you respond and heal quicker and faster and easier.
Right. What is the reason that it starts off, it doesn't hurt a whole lot in the morning after I rested during the night and get up, and the day progresses, most of the time it gets worse? Maybe I've just been up walking around, but
well, I have two possibilities for you. Number one, you would not disagree that you've had some injury somewhere along your hip or your spine, right?
Right, right.
And injured tissues, they just fatigue more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were to go to church tomorrow morning and you said, you know what, I'm going to sit up very erect and very straight with good posture just to help my back heal, what's going to happen to you after about 30 minutes of sitting during an extra long sermon if you find those muscles just completely fatiguing and giving way and you're slouching?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, injured tissues, they fatigue more quickly.
Right, right. I can understand that.
So that's probably the metric we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just give it, just if I were me, I would just be very aggressive with stretching and therapies to get it to heal. So just try those two techniques.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I hope that helps.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you want to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line once again open And I realize there's got to be a lot to that. And, you know, there are plenty of times that adversity can become a blessing in disguise. Because if you keep having back problems, aren't you kind of motivated to say, okay, what do I have to do to resolve this where my body's in better working order? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm calling for my husband. He has multiple myeloma, and his bone is 31. We can't seem to get it down. We don't know what to do about it.
Well,
except the chemo. He couldn't get out of bed, so he had to quit chemo. But he's kind of holding his own. His blood's a little low, but he's getting by. His kidneys.
So if you turn to the doctor and say, "Doctor, what is your plan for helping my husband's kidneys improve?" What does he say?
Drink more water.
Okay, so that's the whole suggestion he gives. Is that the entirety of it?
Stay away from coffee, caffeine. If you drink caffeine, you're gonna produce twice as much as you drink.
So is he just saying that if he drinks coffee, it's going to make the kidneys work harder, and if they're not working real well, that's just going to be adding insult to injury?
Right.
Okay. I'm only going to tell you what I think about this, all right? And I'm just going to say it this way. I've had three different people come to see me this year with what's called multiple myeloma. And one of them in particular turned around so quickly and so fast that I think that she was in shock, and her physicians and doctors were too, that they couldn't believe it just completely resolved and disappeared and went away. But I kind of started the program off this morning by mentioning a technique called intermittent fasting. And this is going to be, anyone that wants is welcome to question everything that I'm saying and argue this, but I'm just telling you what I've seen work. And so if I had a bun of 31, that would be a very precise marker that's telling us that his kidneys are really, really stressed out right now. We would agree with that. If you look at the other lab tests, he's got one called GFR. That's just an acronym for glomerular filtration rate. As a general rule, when GFR is 95 or above, the kidneys are doing great. But
it is 83.47.
And so 83.47, that's telling us that there is some strain on his kidneys. The first thing that I always have to consider is there any chance that he may have some type of a low-grade infection? And the simplest way to test is if you look at the blood work, usually they'll have a marker called the white blood cell count. To me, it's more important to look at what's called the SEGs, S-E-G, that's just short for a segmented neutrophil. Because when that's elevated and lymphocytes are low, that is a very, very precise good clue that he may have a low-grade infection somewhere along the urinary tract. And I'm kind of covering that topic because that's a deal-breaker. Anyway.
Okay. I don't have that.
That's all right. And I knew it's always a risk to bring that up, but you might find it later and you might look it up and say, okay, what is he talking about here? Oh, yeah, that makes sense now. Intermittent fasting has got to be one of the greatest techniques of all time to bring about healing of the kidneys. Do you know what intermittent fasting is?
Yes.
That means
I've
your husband
talk
might...
about it.
Yeah, personally, I can only tell you, if the bun was at 31 and his GFR is at 83, then one technique that we need to consider is intermittent fasting. That means when he wakes up in the morning, he purposes in his heart and mind that he will not eat breakfast. And so let's just say that his last meal of the day is at 5 o'clock p.m., and he doesn't eat anything else except water. So from 5 at night till 5 in the morning, that's a 12-hour fast. Well, what if we just kind of push this a little bit further, upwards to maybe 16 hours or 17 or 18 hours? That's where I see the most amazing changes take place. If he is willing to fast for about 18 hours a day, meaning he's not eating any food whatsoever, no sugar, he can drink all the herbal teas and water he wants, then what's going to happen is, this is going to be the period of time that his body is most equipped at healing the fastest, the most efficiently, There is never a time of more healing than during fasting. Never. What would happen to a child if they had the flu and they were in bed for a day and a half and they didn't want to eat? You'd probably say, you know what, this is probably the body marshaling all its energy and force to rise to the occasion and overcome the viral infection. You'd say, right. You're not going to give the kid pepperoni pizza and a bottle of Mountain Dew when they have the flu. That would just completely prevent the body from healing. And on top of that, when the kid has a fever, every time that you increase the body temperature by 1 degree, what you have is you have your immune system. It operates exactly 2,000% more efficiently. So if your husband is willing to fast, I would have him just eat 2 meals a day. Now, one of those meals, I'm not trying to say that it has to be this way, but it's probably the easiest way. If he could just set his mind like Flint that he's going to have a very, very big salad with just a little bit of protein, not high protein, and that might be, you know, a couple of eggs. It might be a little bit of meat of some kind or fish. I always think that eggs and fish are the easiest proteins for the kidneys. Do you think he'd like to do that?
Oh, he loves eggs.
Good. And so if we had just a very large green salad that almost strained him to full capacity of his stomach, because I always say to myself, Roy, tell the person green things are good for the kidneys. And, of course, we know what's bad for the kidneys. If you want to totally destroy the kidneys, sugar and highly acidic foods will surely do that. If you want to really make the kidneys rotten, drinking a Coke right now would probably help, or a Mountain Dew, so don't do that. But if you want to clean the kidneys and repair the kidneys, maybe we can squeeze the juice of one lemon in a glass of water, and he can sip on that throughout the morning, and he can drink another one throughout the day. I always just like to simply, if we're trying to alkalize the body, why don't we just run with maybe a quarter to a half a teaspoon of just plain Jane Arm & Hammer baking soda? That will definitely start to soothe his kidneys. But he would be really wise not to eat any sugar. I personally probably would not recommend any fruit for the next week.
No fruit. Okay. Now he's a diabetic. He's got RA.
Well, see, and those are all complicated. But then again, if he has RA and diabetes, this is his cure right here. It's the same cure. Intermittent fasting, ketogenic diet.
Okay.
If he's starving for breakfast, give him some herbal tea.
Big breakfast.
Well, give him a big breakfast for lunch. It's called a salad with tuna fish.
Okay, he loves salad.
Eggs.
Okay. Okay, well, what's your try on that?
Well, do you know what his fasting blood sugar is, or what's his blood sugar usually in the morning?
Oh, I would say around 120-something, I'm guessing.
Okay, well, that's not a horrible number. I mean, it's completely doable right there. But I would just consider intermittent fasting, consuming coconut oil, putting butter on everything, and eating green vegetables. And if he wants to, it's fine by me if he goes right back to the doctor again in about 10 days and says, please retest my bun. So you can't be shocked and surprised if applying these principles doesn't lead to healing and repair.
Okay, we go every month, and he has all this, and he has to...
Hey, this is a good test. When's his next test? Is it 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks?
To the month. He just went Friday,
and that's where this bun was 31.
Right. This has been going on for a long time.
Well, do you think that he's sufficiently motivated to take care of himself?
He is. He will do what he's supposed to do. We
good.
Just don't know what to do.
Yeah, and I've just given you like a teeny tiny snippet of what he should do. But try these things and let me know how it works out, please.
And not too much meat.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, that's probably the great advantage of eggs is because they're 65% fat. They're not high in protein, but they have adequate protein. So I think those are safe.
Oh, good, because you love them.
Not 20 eggs, but 2.
Right.
Okay, thanks for your call, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. The number here at the station is 903. That's the area code. And the phone number is 586-5257. I always think that with the kidneys, you need to probably not stress them with way, way, way too much protein. Make it easy. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm blessed, thank you.
I like hearing that.
Yes, sir. I have
a nephew.
His girlfriend is obese and has Crohn's disease. I was wondering if you could explain something to do for her, because she is just kind of giving up.
Last Monday, or this last Monday, on my lunch break, I was looking at the news feed, because I'm just kind of a total information junkie.
Yes,
and I was reading about a person that you have probably never heard of, but then again, maybe you have. His name is Georges St-Pierre. Does that name ring a bell?
No.
Okay, well, anyway, he's a martial arts fighter. That probably doesn't interest you at all, but he is one of the most exceptional athletes in the entire world, and he is probably at the pinnacle. But anyway, he just won the middleweight championship. But anyway, that's maybe wasting your time. But no. He talked about how difficult it was training for his fight because he has an autoimmune disease called colitis. Now, in the article, it did not say if it was ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease. It never said that. But it's got to be one of them. And so what he said he did was, the only way, and he's talking about outside of using heavy drugs that don't really fix the problem, the way that he would train and prepare for his fight to keep the colitis, to reverse the symptoms, was to do one simple technique. And I'm just quoting what he said he had to do to be healthy. He would eat one day and he would fast the next. And then he would eat one day and he would fast the next. And you got to admit, that is an extremely formidable set of circumstances to train for a major sporting event, to go into a fight without eating.
Absolutely. I've been there, did that.
Well, but what it does is, fasting is the greatest way to drive a colitis of any kind, or Crohn's disease, into remission. And so the theme that I began with, talking about, and now the only reason I thought of it is because I've had three different individuals tell me this week, how intermittent fasting has saved their lives.
I'll be dog. Okay.
But so if she wants to completely turn this around and she wants to lose all that extra weight that she's holding on to, you and I are probably pretty reasonable, aren't we?
Pretty much. I'm in my high school weight. I'm 57 years old, and my husband's the same way. And we've listened to you for a long time, and
I would make the comment that I can hear a man in the background. He sounds extremely brilliant and intelligent. Am I right about that?
Yes, he is. That's my husband.
Okay. Well, so there's no emotions involved with this, because I don't like that. Because emotions rule everything. She's probably emotionally eating, and she's making decisions based on emotions. But what I want her to do is, I want her to have some type of an emotional, you know, come to Jesus meeting, where she says to herself, I cannot continue on this same course that I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, when I'm alone with my thoughts in the darkness, I say to myself, Roy, what are you going to do now about this situation or that situation? And that might lead to me praying, Lord, I do not know what to do. Please help me.
Yeah.
I'm begging you. But she needs to have her fortunes completely turn in a different direction.
I agree.
And so the other way of saying this is, her Crohn's disease, in part, not in totality, but in part, is the sum total of the direction that she's been going all these many years of her life.
And yeah, she's so young. She's very young. She's only 27 years old, maybe.
No, she's a babe.
I know it. And
she's brand, that's like half your age. Well, not exactly. They're close.
I have children that are close to 40, so.
Well, oh, I get it. That means you had a baby when you were 13. Is that correct? I'm joking. That was a joke. But if she has an autoimmune disease, the way to tell the body to stop attacking itself is, number one, she has to find out which food is the trigger. And I know I'm making this short and sweet, but I can almost guarantee you, with Crohn's disease, If she even looks at a drop of wheat or corn or sugar, she is not going to see. Well, sugar keeps everything. I mean, if you want to add insult to injury, just add sugar to the mix.
Oh, I understand, Dr. Morgan.
That would be like somebody in intensive care blinking their eye is a code, like, I really want some Dr. Pepper right about now. I'm thinking, don't. they're nearly brain dead. Don't give them a code. Anyway, so what you want to do is you want to run past. But you know the beauty of this is? There is so much information today about how to heal Crohn's disease just by... She could go on the website called Amazon.com or on eBay or any other bookseller website, Barnes & Noble, and type in Crohn's disease. And she'd probably have 25 books that explain step-by-step how to resolve it.
Okay.
So you can't tell me that she does not have an opportunity. She does. And maybe your tremendous love for your potential daughter-in-law?
She's my nephew's girlfriend. Uh-huh.
Well, your potential niece through marriage.
Right.
So she's got an opportunity right now. She can turn this around very, very rapidly and very, very quickly. But her fortunes are going to rise and fall based on these principles of intermittent fasting,
exactly.
Avoiding foods that generate severe amounts of inflammation. Next is just nutrition. She has to put the very thing in her body that's going to cause it to heal. I showed a woman yesterday. I went to my freezer. I said, would you look at this for a second? I said, what is this right here? She said, oh, those are bones. Yes, I have a bag of bones in my freezer. They're from a cow.
Oh, my.
But they're, well, I'm not a serial killer, ma'am. I'm just, I have bones so I can take them home so my wife can boil them to make broth.
I've had a bone broth in my crock pot for a week.
Well, there you go.
I mean, and it's some of the best stuff.
Well, wouldn't that be the very thing that could rapidly help repair the lining of her gut that's so inflamed and so infected? And then there's no way around this. I don't care if the world's greatest cancer doctor says nutrition means nothing toward cancer, or if a gastroenterologist says diet is of absolutely no consequence. That's just the biggest bunch of baloney. Are you kidding? That's a foundational principle of life. How long are you going to live without eating? 40 days?
Maybe,
45?
Yeah. Give or take.
I think it didn't say that Jesus went 40 days when he was tempted in the wilderness. Don't you think he was probably fairly depleted and hungry at the point where, you know, Satan tempted him to turn a stone into a loaf of bread?
Uh-huh.
Or did the Bible say loaf of bread or a Pop-Tart? I can't remember which one.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Well, I'm joking. So she can eat herself into this, and she can eat herself out of it. But if she can get a little ray of hope and start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, I can tell you what would do it. Just kidnap her. Take her to an island off the coast of some Caribbean island and just leave her there for a week and don't let her eat anything except water.
She'll be
completely in remission.
She lives in Shreveport, and I don't see her very often, but I promised her I would call you and get some answers.
They came by a few weeks ago. My wife's sister passed away a few weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
And they got together at our house, all her children and their girlfriends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they brought double stuffed chocolate Oreos.
Did I hear that correctly? Did you say double stuffed okra boiled and raw?
No.
Is that what you said?
No.
No, I'm joking.
And s'mores chocolate chip cookies.
Well, and see, they're really trying to be nice. That's just their love language. I don't fault them for
right.
that.
But I put one of those s'mores chocolate chip. We don't eat stuff like that. I'd never heard of them. I wanted to try one. I put it in my mouth, and I could taste the chemicals. They put in those things.
Don't tell her I said this, but she probably can't taste one chemical whatsoever because that's just what she's used to. She's used to the chemicals.
Normal.
She's kind of numb to them. Yeah, exactly.
Right. We told them we're not going to eat that stuff, and they took it with them.
I wasn't even going to give it to my chicken.
Yeah, but you were trying to use that as an opportunity to try to help turn her way of thinking to where she goes, oh, you mean maybe what I'm putting in my mouth might be a problem. It might be a little bit toxic.
You see, my problem is that I'm liable to upset her, okay, because
I know, but you know what? The opportunities that we have in this life are sometimes very small windows. You're trying to use your influence to positively help change your way of thinking. You're not trying to offend her. You're just trying to say, hey, this is serious.
I told you.
We don't want you suffering.
What do you suggest that she, like, any herbal tea that maybe she could sip on or something like that?
That'd be perfectly fine. The easiest one is called throat coat tea, slippery elm and marshmallow. But right now, the biggest shift she's got to have is she's got to stop all this inflammation.
Yeah.
Right, and the sugar and the wheats that convert to sugar and all
if
that
she,
stuff.
If she did not eat for 3 days, and she just sipped on herbal teas and water and lemon water or lime water, at the end of the first day, she would feel horrible. It would be just a horrible, yucky detox, and she would say, if this is healing, I don't want any part of it. But then again, isn't that true if somebody doesn't smoke a cigarette for 3 days? They go through horrible withdrawals from what they're addicted to and the toxins. But by day three, she would say, all you got to do is turn to her and say, Becky Sue, isn't this the best you've ever felt? And she's going, yes. I don't even have any pain down there any longer. And then you'd use that as a window of opportunity to say, I wonder what you have been eating that's been driving this horrible disease in your gut, or your colon, rather.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, I have a lot of Crohn's stories I could tell you, but, you know, if people are eating breakfast, they may not want to hear them. But anyway, let me know what happens, all right?
I'll do it. And we need to tell the president as well to stop the Diet Cokes.
Does he have a Diet Coke habit?
Oh, he drinks 12 a day. That's what the media says.
See, I've never even heard that before. He drinks 12 a day?
Uh-huh.
Are you suggesting the taxpayer is footing the bill for those?
Have a blessed day, Dr. Morgan.
Thank you very much. Take care. Thanks for your phone call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty, the phone number here at the station, this program is called Health Essentials. Oh, yes, it's true. I am incredibly biased. I am biased toward any remedy or element or dietary strategy or natural herb or homeopathy that will bring the body to a state of homeostasis or happiness. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I just have a question. What would be natural cures for strep throat?
It may not be pleasant, but gargling with apple cider vinegar and salt water will usually do the trick.
Okay.
It's just, I mean, you have to spit that stuff out. Now, do you mind if I tell you a story? I'll make it fast.
Sure.
There are 5 sets of tonsils that a human being is usually born with. They have the ones that we call the adenoids. Those are kind of up at the top of the throat. And they have the eustachian tube tonsils. Everybody kind of goes, hey, the eustachian tubes, I've heard of those. I think they're kind of connected to the ears and the throat. That would be correct. Then you have a tonsil at the base of the tongue. It's called the lingual tonsil. Then you have what's called the laryngeal tonsil. So I know you've heard somebody with horrible laryngitis where they go, I can't talk. That's when those tonsils are affected. But the ones that are really, really big, I'm sorry, they have the potential to be big, they're called the palatine tonsils. They're just right there at the back of the throat. And with strep throat, quite often the problem is strep gets in those tonsils and it forms just a huge mass. It almost looks like an ivory, yellow, white colored stone in there, but it gets stuck in there and it just keeps promoting one infection after the other. So there's an old school technique where you just take a spoon and milk the tonsils and squeeze all that strep out of them.
Okay.
You just have to look that up on the internet.
All right.
I call it milk. Yeah, gargling, but spit the stuff out. Don't you dare drink it.
No, apple cider vinegar with salt.
Yeah, if you drink a gallon of apple cider vinegar, then you'll tell all your friends that Dr. Morgan destroyed me with vinegar. I don't want that.
Oh, I use apple cider vinegar for everything. Internal, external.
Has it killed you yet? Oh, wait,
no,
you're breathing right now. It hasn't. Okay.
No, I'm 57, like 57 Chevy.
You mean like one in Cuba that just keeps going and going?
Yeah, because I keep listening to you and you keep telling me how to...
Well, hey, if I can give you a juicy tidbit of information. Who has a strep throat?
My son Daniel. I'm the missionary in Ukraine. And,
well, then what we would do also is, since it's a boy, give him throat coat tea to sip on, but I would probably give him zinc lozenges and just let him suck on those very, very frequently throughout the day.
Okay.
And do those things and see if we can't get this to turn around, and just give him something, like lemon juice to sip on.
All right.
And his herbal tea.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
See, I thought it was a crusty 74-year-old man that had this. I'm joking. The number here at the radio station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm good, Dr. Morgan. I just wanted to know what you think about chia seeds, or is it be an advantage to use those?
Well, you know, throughout history, there is a term that's used to describe certain foods, so I like that term. It's called superfoods.
Okay.
It might mean that they might have a little bit more special properties than like a head of lettuce. Now, have you ever heard of iceberg lettuce called a superfood?
No.
Neither have I. Have you ever heard of a potato called a superfood?
I guess not.
What I should have said is, have you ever heard of a Ruffles potato chips, even if they're sour cream flavored? Are those superfoods?
No.
No, but superfoods are things that just have exceptional nutritional properties to them that are very, very healing. But I would have to say chia seeds are it.
Okay.
So if I said flax seeds could be a superfood, chia seeds, wheat germ oil, blueberries, even if I were to go in the grocery store, over the refrigerated section, they sell what's called pomegranate juice.
Uh-huh.
You can't tell me that's not a superfood.
Right, okay.
Anyway, but I agree, and I think they could be very, very advantageous. As a matter of fact, I think that was my wife's remedy when she felt maybe not her very best with one of her pregnancies. She would just take a spoonful of the chia seeds and put them in a glass and drink them down.
Okay.
Have you ever seen kombucha that's sold at the store where they actually have chia seeds? They look like little fish eggs.
I know. They make a little jelly thing around.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was going to say slime, but jelly sounds a lot better. Uh-huh. But no, those are very, very good. There's only, if somebody had a condition called diverticulosis or diverticulitis and their digestion's weak, then they may not want to consume the chia seeds.
Okay, because they would get kind of caught in the pockets, or...
Oh, exactly.
Okay.
But do you have something in mind that you want the chia seeds for? Or is it just kind of strengthen you?
I've heard that they give you stamina, or give you a little more energy.
Well, even from that, I mean, is there anything that you read about in medicine where they promote this drug will give you stamina and energy? I haven't heard that.
No.
But you get that from food.
Right.
Well, have you tried the chia seeds to see if that's true or not?
Yes.
What do you think?
I do feel that I have more energy. You know, I think I can, my stamina is longer than it would, you know, ordinarily be.
See, this has nothing to do with chia seeds, but I read an article years ago that they found, I'm just going to say, like in a stone box or maybe in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that if you go to those Egyptian pyramids, that's probably one of the driest, low humidity places on Earth.
Okay.
And so as far as I know, that's about the safest way to store seeds is in a low humidity environment. So they took these seeds they thought were maybe 2,500 or 3,000 years old. I could go with that. I don't really know. But what they did was they put them on a napkin, and then they sprayed water on them. And lo and behold, they began to sprout. Can you believe that?
I know. It's amazing.
the other point that I wanted to make, just very briefly, is number one. If they took a chia seed And they measured and broke down the mineral content. Let's just say that they can determine it contains 5 milligrams of calcium, 4 milligrams of magnesium, certain amounts of B vitamins. And this is the thing that just always blows my mind. I don't know that I understand it. But when they, if they add water to it and it starts to sprout, and then they measure the nutritional content, all that goes up by, I don't understand. How does it increase in calcium and magnesium and iron and zinc? I don't understand it, but it does.
That's amazing.
Well, would you say that maybe there's some mysteries in the universe that we don't understand fully?
Sure.
That would be true for me. No, but I really appreciate your phone call, and thanks for your feedback.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. I'm going to guess her name was Linda. I'm joking. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Thanks for your phone call today.
Good morning, and thank you for all your wealth of knowledge.
Oh, well, you're sure welcome. It's my pleasure.
Okay, I have two questions.
You thought I was going to say no problem, right?
Yes.
I'm not. I'm saying my pleasure.
I like that, and I do like Chick-fil-A and how they say that.
Thank you.
All right, first question, fever blister. Comes on, stays a while, goes away, but that irritating thing just keeps coming back.
All right, they don't call this any longer, but it used to be called vitamin F. Have you ever heard the term vitamin F?
No.
Because if you run that by the Food and Drug Administration, they go, are you kidding me? There is no such thing as vitamin F. If anybody knows about vitamins, it's us, and we say it doesn't exist. But what F stands for are fatty acids.
Okay.
So I would suggest that if there are fever blisters that keep coming back, one of the easiest superfood remedies of all time would be called cod liver oil.
Okay.
So I might say there might be a vitamin F deficiency or cod, but just try cod liver oil and see if the fortunes turn for the better.
Okay.
And like any,
would you put it topically also?
Well, you beat me to the punch, but I was going to say something else topically. But if you took it internally, you're just trying to bathe your cells and essential fatty acids, and you want to find out if your immune system or the immune system functions much better in this individual with cold sores.
Okay.
The other thing that I always look at, there's an element called zinc. And I find that sometimes with cold sores, if a person is low in zinc, and there's a lot of ways, one clue that a person could be low in zinc is just looking at the fingernails. And a lot of times on the nail bed, the colored part, you'll see these just completely white spots or streaks or bands. Sometimes they're called stippled, just like a white spot. That's a classic sign of a zinc deficiency. The other is a person that craves sugar. That's a classic zinc deficiency. This is only book knowledge, ma'am. I've never heard of a human being craving sugar before. I've only read about it in textbooks that are 100 years old. Ha, ha, ha. So, but with cold sores, Here's what I was going to say about your previous comment. Maybe about 4, 5, or 6 years ago, it doesn't matter, but they were looking at all these drugs that are traditionally used when a person has just a horrible, horrible outbreak of genital herpes. And I'm not trying to say the herpes simplex virus that causes a cold sore is the same virus as the one that causes genital herpes. And, anyway, they said, let's test this and see what happens. And they wanted to know if these powerful drugs that are very expensive and have side effects, if there was anything in nature that worked better. And what they came up with is they just took sterile gauze and they put raw honey. So you just kind of butter the gauze with honey and you place it directly over the very severe, painful outbreak of the genital herpes. Would you care to guess which one worked the very best?
Raw honey.
Every single time. But whoever has these cold sores, you might look into taking an amino acid called L. That's just like the, you know, consonant L. Lysine. But you could easily, I've always been fond of a balm called Melissa Balm. B-A-L-M. That's not B-O-M-B. Not, they dropped the bomb. That's not what I'm saying.
Right, right. And can we get that at that wonderful store in Tyler?
You betcha.
Okay.
Yeah, or if you can't find it, that's what the Internet's for. You can almost find anything you want.
Right, true.
Now, if you type in B-O-M-B and you're searching for one and it comes back to me and the FBI comes after me, I'm going to say balm, B-A-L-M.
There you go.
So you're looking for either some type of lip balm that has lysine and melissa extract. That can help resolve those very, very quickly. But what you want is the more quick, and that's what they show with the genital herpes, the more quickly this can crest over and form a scab, the faster it heals.
Okay.
Which the same is completely true with shingles. If a person has just these very painful blisters that break out on their body,
and
they're going, oh man, am I in misery. I can't lay on my side. I can't get comfortable. This pain is just unbearable. I can tell you right now, the more quickly those little suckers crest over and the blisters pop and you get a crusty scab, the better this is going to go, because that's called healing right there.
Right.
Which, personally, I would have no trouble if a person had a wicked outbreak of shingles just taking one of those fabric flexible Band-Aids that's pretty large and smearing honey on it.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, what were you going to ask next?
I've got brown spots on the back of my hand, and I've always heard that those are liver spots.
They are.
Does that mean my liver's not doing good?
I didn't say that. Believe me, I want to be positive. Well, I mean... okay, you tell me honestly, because I know you will. Do you feel like that you're in good health?
No, but I'm working on it.
Okay, well, that's all that matters with this conversation then. If you see this as an opportunity to improve, then I would probably say that if you see brown spots on the back of your hands or on your arms or on your face or on your tummy or chest or wherever they may be, maybe that's an indication that we need to try to improve you, okay?
Right, right.
The liver is definitely one organ that we cannot make it real long without. I don't think I've seen studies where they remove the liver and then hit the stopwatch to see how long a person lives.
I don't think so.
No, that might be about a minute and a half. But yes, and that's. Do you consume lemon juice at all?
I'm not opposed to it. Back to that, to Chick-fil-A, I love their lemonade. So no, I love lemons.
Did you just say take water and squeeze the fresh lemon into it? That's what I want?
Yeah, not on a regular basis, but I do. I like that, but I don't do that on a regular basis.
You know what some people do? Some people can reconcile that they want to put stevia in their lemonade instead of sugar.
And what about that?
Well, if you want to give it a shot and try it, it's going to be a little bit of a different sweet type taste.
Yeah.
And some of those stevia mixes, they may have a little bit of erythritol, which is like an alcohol-based sugar. But, I mean, if you can find a way to please your taste buds with a natural lemonade, then if you use stevia instead of sugar, that's got to be a bonus.
Got to be. And I was curious about the stevia. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go natural. I would rather have sugar than a fake something-something, kind of like the lady before said about Diet Coke. I don't drink Diet Cokes, and I have almost eliminated all sodas from my diet. But, I mean, I would rather either go without or do sugar than...
It literally is cancer in a bottle. It just
yeah.
is. I
yeah.
don't care what... I mean, yes, they can tell us all day long how wonderful Diet Coke is, but at the end of the day, it doesn't do one thing to benefit you.
Right.
I mean, well, maybe you've satisfied your taste buds for the moment. Nothing
the
beats
moment
water.
Comes back really quick. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
You're right. I agree
so,
with you.
all the sweeteners that are out there that are not sugar, I've heard that stevia is probably the best.
Well, the other one that you could try, it's called monk fruit, and a lot of people love it. It's just more expensive than stevia.
Okay.
Sometimes it's called Lohan fruit or monk fruit. If it's okay. called monk fruit, does that mean it's grown just outside of the gates of a monastery?
Well, if it's grown there, is it on a tree or on a vine?
I'm going to have to ask the next monk I meet and find out.
I will, too.
You know, there's a hill over by between well, I would say Troop and Bullard, and we always called it Monk Hill because it looks like it's a bald monk with grass on the top and trees going around the side like, you know, hair.
That's very funny.
Okay.
Okay, so lemon water, lemon juice.
Yeah,
flush
and
it.
What and
flush
what you and what you, do, and what you do is, I think that is a very reasonable aid to help improve the function of your liver. You're giving it a chance because you're providing compounds that enables the liver to do its job a little bit better.
Okay, and I've also got a drink that there's I think it's a cup of water, 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, juice of a lemon, maybe it's a tablespoon of lemon juice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some honey, mm-hmm, and cinnamon.
Well, I would definitely call that a health tonic.
Yeah.
Sounds like something my mother would drink every morning.
Yeah.
She's probably sipping it right now as we're speaking.
She might be.
Yeah.
As far as drinking that, drink that and then follow with some water to...
Sure, that's
right. Anything, or how often? Is it okay to drink it once a day,
a day? You know the beauty of this? When it comes to all these natural remedies that God has created, all you have to do is just put them to the test and see if there's any benefit. So if a person says, you know what, I've heard a lot of good things about apple cider vinegar, and I think I'm very conservative. I never recommend high amounts of apple cider vinegar. If anything, just a little bit here and there, and then you test it and see how it goes.
Okay.
But, so just put it to the test and see if there's a benefit and prove it to yourself.
Fantastic.
Well, good.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, and thank you again.
Oh, thank you so much. You too. I hope your weekend goes really well.
It will. Bye-bye.
Are you going to rake the backyard?
No, I'm going to Tyler to go shopping.
I do not recommend that because I need to take a daughter shopping, and that's just going to slow me down if you get in my way.
Well, I'm going with my daughter to get a new vehicle, so unless you're going car shopping.
So do I need to avoid the roads in front of the car dealership then?
Oh, no. She's older. She's a new driver.
Oh, well, let me ask you then. Where do they have the Porsche or the Ferrari dealership, the one you're going to?
Is it on the loop?
So is she going to be getting a red Ferrari for Christmas?
No. And she's old enough. She's paying this off on her own. And
does that mean she's getting a very inexpensive car compared to a very expensive car?
Yes.
Good call. Very good call. Well, I hope you all have a lot of fun today.
Thank you.
Just remember, their first offer, say, we'll take it.
Right. There you go.
No, I'm glad you're going with her. Thank you, ma'am.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. I think I've run past the time. Sorry about that. You're listening to Health Essentials on KBGS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.